Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Michigan Avenue Media. A good story is a good story. Hosted by Marsha Casper Cook. Live shows every week with interesting interviews in the entertainment field with writers, producers, directors, and screenwriters. There's also shows about newsworthy topics and group discussions about writing tips to help writers reach success. New to the show are conversations about personal struggles and how to feel good about yourself in today's world. One thing's for sure, it's always a lively conversation and lots of fun. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Hi, everybody. It's Marsha, and we are going to have a lively show. However, I just would like to say a few things. Well, I have two guests that are really good, Ziva Granatowski and Jack Remick, who has been here many, many times. Did I say it wrong? Yes.
Granatowski.
Okay. All right. Well, that's not even close. I'm so sorry. Okay. Well, we have a great show. And you're going to meet Ziva. I already know her from Jack, introduced me to her. And she's got a lot to talk about, plus she's an excellent website designer. And before we get further, I just wanted to say a little bit about Florida. I want to, you know, express my sympathy for all the pain and anguish that they're all going through there. And I'm hoping that it won't be as bad as they say it is. And I just, you know, I don't even know there's not a lot to say. I mean, because I was just mentioning to Jack before that, you know, I'm in the Midwest and we always say, oh, our weather is just, we hate it. It's below zero. It's 20 below. It's whatever. But we don't have what they have now. And that is so dangerous. And I'm just hoping that everything works out because there's a lot of people that have been on the show that are in the line, you know, where the storms are coming. So thinking about you all, and I'm hoping that, and by the end of the week, things might be better, but we'll see how it goes. And there is so much aid coming out there from everywhere. I was watching CNN, and everybody is giving, you know, the government and all these agencies. So that's really good that everybody's, and they're helping all these people that are in nursing homes and hospitals. This is a huge, huge storm. So my best to everyone. And Ziva, did you want to add anything? Or Jack, do you want to say anything before we move on?
Oh, my goodness. No. What I've been hearing about the storm has been very scary.
Yeah, very scary.
There's and, some that it's meeting the upper limit of what our atmosphere can actually support at the moment.
Yeah. Yes, I think.
Well, Marsha, one of the things that I kind of wanted to add to it here is, you know, for the, and I'm just going to be blatant about it. The Republicans have gone so far in this climate change denial. You know, in Florida, they apparently had to take the word climate change out of their textbooks or something. You couldn't mention it. And yet, you know, this is one of the biggest things that's happening right now. And it was all predictable. The scientists said global warming is going to warm the oceans. As the oceans warm, the storms will become more intense and more frequent, and sure enough. So the Republicans have been lying to us for the past 15 or 20 years about the whole notion of climate change. It's staring us in the face, and now we're paying
for it. I think what happened is people weren't thinking it's going to happen. But, you know, seeing all the storms and the hurricanes, I mean, it's frightening. I mean, because people are losing everything. So, I mean,
you know,
I'm hoping now that they will start everybody, the Republicans, Democrats, everybody will work together to get this country where it needs to be. All of this fighting is just unbelievable. And the young people, and Ziva, you're here, the young people are going through so much mentally. I don't know that everybody can handle all this. Adults, too. It's a lot.
Oh, no, they can't. I have friends who are barely hanging on.
So, all right, let's talk about that for a minute, okay? Talk about what they're saying to you.
There's a lot of that sentiment of just, there's so many things that keep happening one after another. There's no moment to break. So the burnout is intense, especially because we're also working full time, trying to like pay our bills for things that are just getting more and more expensive. And then we're constantly hit with these huge tragic situations that, you know, over here in like Washington State, there's nothing I can do for what's happening in Florida other than just see the destruction and try to persuade people to get out of the line of fire before it's too late. But that constant of like, this is bad. There's, you know, the deaths are happening in this area of the world and why don't you care? And it's like, well, you can't care about everything all the time. So people are just getting burnt out.
Well,
just trying
to. What's happening. In your age group. I mean, you know, and the teenage, you know, I had Jeff Fleischer, who's my editor. He was on with talking about the civics minded. And, you know, he goes and talks to the young people. He's written three books, four, a lot. He's out in the schools. He's talking to young people. And, you know, this needs to be handled for our younger generation, even the ones in high school and grammar school, because you know what's interesting? Young little kids, they're saying, like, I hate this one, I hate that one. They're little. They're like 9 and 10. They're going, I don't like this president, I don't like that president, I don't like this person. I mean, they're supposed to be out there having fun. You know, I mean, well, they don't, that's what they're hearing from their families. You know, you're sitting at a dinner table, people are arguing, not good for young kids to hear all this at a very young age because they're stressed out enough. They just got done with COVID 4 years of, you know, 3 years actually of where they were really, now they're out a lot and that's a good thing. But nobody actually knows what's going to happen to them mentally because they're different. Who wants to be home for all those years when you're young? Who wants an age, you know, age doesn't matter in this. I should say that because older, younger, middle age, everybody suffered. And so like you're saying right now, Ziva, that people have had enough and they have. They can't handle much more of this, I think. I agree. Jack, you agree with Ziva?
Well, you know, one of the things that I've been reading is that the spinoff from COVID is having a disproportionate effect on young girls with respect to young boys. In other words, what we're seeing, I think, is probably some sort of a breakdown in social interaction levels that has really negative effects on young women. I'm totally out of a different generation and everything, but I do have grandchildren, and they're telling me things that are really surprising. They're feeling things that I knew I didn't feel when I was their age. Yeah. And in fact, they become kind of maybe even wiser than we can imagine. So I think that we're in trouble. I don't know how to cure it. I don't know what to do. How do you reclaim 4 years? Yeah.
Well, I think you can't, but you can move on. So, like Ziva, okay, so what do you do to keep yourself, you know, you're busy with your work, but what do you do to mentally handle all this? Because you do grueling work. I mean, you're doing websites and marketing, and it's very tough work.
I definitely limit the amount of like social media I spend on, like my personal social media. I try not to focus too much on like the most disparaging news, although I want to know what is happening in the world. I love looking at the headlines and kind of being appraised of the situation, but I definitely, since COVID, I don't know, somehow I don't linger on the trauma of COVID itself. That has somehow already been compartmentalized and put in a box somewhere.
Right.
And it's like, nah, it's just a disease we have to deal with.
Right.
I have a huge fascination and love for the study of diseases over time and through human history. And so it's not the first time we've experienced these things. So when you look back at those, how we bounced back from it and how people eventually come back to a normal again, we can always come back to that. However, with the amount of like terrible news and all of that, I just try to keep it in perspective, that there are things that I can affect myself in my immediate world, and there are things that I can do to help other people, and then there are sometimes things I can't do other than just to beg my representatives in Congress to do something for me or let them know what my own actions can't do much for that kind of a situation. But that kind of helps me feel like I'm still doing something but keeping my brain at the same time.
Yeah.
Do you think that there are a lot of when Marcia and I say younger people, we mean people, you know, probably, well, I don't know what I mean by that anymore. But
the age between 20 and 40 is a very good market to talk about, because they are trying to get married, raise children, have families, find a career. I think those type of things are so important to them that's why that group, because they're trying to move on from what had happened. And sometimes the people in maybe the 50s, 60s, 70s already have their life somewhat secure, hopefully.
Yeah, and I don't even see it as trying to move on. We're trying to build our own futures. We're trying to build a world where we can see ourselves having kids. Like, for example, I'd love to have kids at some point. That is just not in the cards right now. It's not something that is financially reasonable or something I feel morally reasonable about bringing them in, because I'm not prepared for it. The world is too chaotic, or at least my, you know, the systems are. So
I think the people my age
want the stability to actually settle down and build a future.
Okay, this is the one thing I wanted to add to that. Okay, so, you know, Harris and Waltz, they're out there talking to a lot of young people. Okay, and I find it so good. I find it really an excellent way to get voters interested. And I think by going to podcasts, by going to Howard Stern, that's where they have to reach the people, because we need those people to vote. Now, I was listening to, Call Her Daddy by Alex Cooper. She went on there. And she wasn't on it like forever, but Alex was asking her good questions. I did not know about Alex, okay? And she's a very good podcast host. She hasn't ever done these type of things, and she was excellent at this. And here's, you know, Kamala was really good on the show. She's explaining what she wants to do for young women, you know, and college kids, and helping them and small businesses. She's at the right place now. This is what people want. It's not really about Democrat, Republican. It's what needs to be done to make everybody feel better and move on with their life. Like
you're
saying,
you
got to
make a decision, Marcia. Marcia, you got to make a decision, because who is going to make that possible? So it is about Democrats and Republicans, and we can't avoid that.
Right.
We really have to face the fact that we have been having a lot of trouble here because there are certain people within their political culture who are not interested in perpetuating democracy and all that that means. If you have read P2025, you realize that the Republicans have an agenda that doesn't give a damn about young people. All it cares about is getting a little bit more fascist into the culture, making it a little harder for people to achieve. This is not a happy time, and we can't just say, oh, it will get better, because it won't, as long as we have this particular kind of division going on. Now,
that's what she's trying to do. She's trying to invite people in to a party that will try to solve some of these problems and help people feel better again. Because right now, like Ziva was saying, I mean, her age group is, you know, where this is happening. And they want a better life, better future. Go ahead.
And I have to say, like, Kamala's, like, message of, like, her projection of wanting a hopeful future is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, after so many years of just, like, constant, like, you better do this or else, or it's just, like, the trajectory of the mood is so very uplifting. And I think it's important Because you have to be hopeful about the future, even if you think that it's not going well right now. Even if there's bad things happening one after another, to remain hopeful for a future and to fight for a better future is so important.
Right.
So I think it's very smart of her to be going to all of these talk shows, because
I agree.
She needs to get as many voters as out there as possible. If we actually had every single person in this country actually vote for our future, things would happen. Things would change.
Yeah.
But there's like a huge percentage of us who are just so demoralized about all the things that have happened that they just completely checked out. And those are the people we need to try to bring back into the process to care about it again.
Yeah, that is right.
Very well said. Exactly.
And that's exactly right. And that is true. And that is what she is doing. And I think she's doing a great job. And I think Walz is doing a great job. I mean, they're picking out little things that Walz has said that to just zone in on, which are ridiculous. This guy is somebody that will help her lift everybody's spirits up. Because if he talks about giving kids, lunch and things like that at school. Okay. Now think about it if you're hungry. And you can't, sometimes people really think better when on a full stomach. When you have young children going to school without breakfast and having no lunch, how can they think? They can't. So I think these are things that really we have to address too. These are people are like, oh, it's just school kids. No, it's not. It's the future. These kids need to learn. So if you're giving kids lunch or you're giving kids breakfast and making them feel more secure, what's wrong with that? That's a good thing. I mean, those are the things that people forgot about.
I do not understand why the Republicans are so like, oh, I am very, anti-abortion. However, they're like pro-child is what they try to say they are. But then they have no interest in actually investing into the health, security, and the education of all of this country's children. They don't want them to know all the details of how to actually be a functioning adult.
Yes. And I think they have to listen to the woman, because the woman is the one that's going through this, okay? Sure. And this, nobody wants to go back to when people were using hangers and going into places where it was filthy and having abortions and then coming out with infections and possibly death. So this is not where we want to go. We want to go where people can go. Look, I heard them talking the other day on the news, and the most important thing is that Harris and Walz were saying is when Planned Parenthood, also those places take care of other things, birth control, they take care of not just abortions, they take care of women's health, they take care of some mammograms, they take care of women's health.
They do family
and
planning.
That is so important. Wait, go ahead. What were you saying?
Oh, well, I agree, but you see, we've got that political agenda on the right, and I'm just going to stick with that for a while. The political agenda on the right is really not interested in educating everyone. We watch this happen where this whole business about the grand lie that has been told about elections being stolen and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Those are lies that young people hear, I don't know what that means anymore, but people hear that and they say, well, what's the point of voting because it's stolen, Well, if you don't have a fundamental belief in the, in the system that has produced it, then you're kind of lost.
Right.
What are you going to replace it with? I'm really just as straightforward as I can be here. The Republicans are not interested in keeping democracy. They're not. They're absolutely saying, they actually say January 26th was just the beginning of the attack on democracy. So how can you build a country when 40% of the people are saying, we don't want this anymore? And when we say it's up to the young people and the women, well, yes and no. But the women are not a solid block. It looks like there are a lot of white educated women vote for the Republicans or for Trump. So what do we do about that? how do we change that mindset at this point when everything is now working against the notion of some kind of, and I use the word social change, social importance. You talk about feeding kids in school. Why do we have to feed kids in school? Why don't, see, if the parents are not able to find jobs that can support them so they can put food on the table, what do we have? We throw it back on the social enterprise. See, it's such a mess right now. I don't know how, and I use the word lovely,
well, I think one of the,
young
well,
people.
I'll tell
go
you
ahead.
How.
Yeah.
What she's doing now and what both of them, you know, Harris and Waltz are both doing, is they're going to talk to the people. They're going out. I think they're doing a great job because they're hearing what they have to say. And I know people say that Harris has changed her views, but who hasn't? I am not the same person I was 20 years ago. I am not the same person I was 30 years ago or even 5 years ago. I mean, people do change. That's the thing. You need to change to go forward. But that's what, and they're out there. And people are mad. They're going like, oh, she's not doing interviews. She is where she needs to be. And she's everywhere. How much more can one person do? I mean,
they just
that's
love
how
to complain.
I look at it. Yeah. I think, you know, I mean, I think where she's going is where she's needed. And I think the men out there, the younger men, I think they'll come around because she is trying her best because they, you know, this is a conversation that women have always had and not many, you know, the men weren't involved as much. And now there's a lot of men that are wanting, you know, life to be good for everybody again. They're not just staying, and they're young men. They're not just forgetting about everything. So, yes, the Democratic vote is important because she's telling everybody what she is going to do. That's what people want to know. I would think in that certain age groups, they want to hear the truth. Every age group does, but, I mean, I think they've grown up hearing a lot of lies, like you said, Jeff, and both of you said, you know, we need to hear the truth. I think the young people are smart, and they need to hear the truth. What's wrong with
it's
the truth?
It's true.
That works.
Well, there's a lot of that politicians speak. Like, for example, in the vice president debate that happened, you can definitely – I felt like you could really see that there, whereas Walls came across as very honest, very real, like a normal person.
Right.
Whereas Vance kept giving us this political, careful speak, which are – it's like after hearing it for so many years, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
That was mostly fluff, and you didn't really answer these questions.
Yeah.
And so
yeah. –
My generation, like, we've grown up listening to that. Like, that's like, I remember, like, politics was always like that until Trump kind of came in and was like, I am loud and I'm lying through my teeth. But people kind of enjoyed it because at least he wasn't talking like how all the other politicians were with these carefully curated sentences that were never quite answering the question, but also, like, maybe a little better, but also just not being real. And so we want more, like, uncut truth, even if it's not pretty. Like, I don't need to have everything packaged with, you know, like, oh, this is, you know, just the best things. No, sometimes the truth is kind of hard to acknowledge, but you need to know it in order to move on.
What do your friends tell you? What kind of topics, I mean, what are they interested in hearing?
Oh, I'm the most political of my friends. They don't like searching out the politics of the things. They like hearing about improvements. They like hearing about good news. Oh, we finally managed to protect abortion rights. We managed to protect trans lives. We managed to do all these things. That's what they want to hear. They want to hear good things, but they also don't want to hear politicians lie to us and tell us everything's going to be fine when we know it's not. They're not doing anything to make it better.
Right. And I think they're not used to hearing people like Harris and Waltz, what they're saying, because every time I listen to her and him, Harris and Waltz, either, I understand everything they said. But then when I'm listening to the news, they go, they didn't say anything. I'm going like, what do you mean they didn't say anything? They said everything.
Oh, my God.
You know, they explained
it. That means
it
to me that they didn't hear it, or the the comprehension.
My husband and I were looking at each other. What did we just hear? Did we hear this, or are they? Because then they say, "Oh, this was wrong." I'm thinking like, "If this is bad," I'm thinking like, "What?" You know, these are people out there. They are able, being a president or vice president, they still have opinions. I mean, and they still are their own person, but they try to do the best for the country. This is America. Now, if someone like Liz Cheney has come out and she lost her job, and she may not get another job, or she might, you know, in politics, but she risked it all. This is a person that anybody could look at and say, she did the right thing. She is American. And her father, for any of us that are older, we'll go like, oh, my God, because this is an oh, my God. Because these are people that, you know, and they say it, they never were going to switch a party. And they didn't switch party. They're saying their voting is different right now. But they didn't give up what their thoughts are.
Well, you know, there's a real problem right now in voter suppression. You know, you got to put it on a political level. The Republicans are very interested in limiting the number of Democrats who can vote, and the only way to do that is to do this legal challenge, you know, like is happening in Georgia. I have to make up a number. They just arbitrarily removed 50,000 voters from the list. You know, they just arbitrarily did that. Said, well, they didn't have this or they didn't have that. So you've got this active process that is undermining the whole notion of democracy. At the same time, this wonderful woman, the vice president of the United States, is trying to salvage democracy by saying, register to vote, get out there and vote. Let's see what we can do to make it better. But at the same time, you've got these people in Georgia, not just Georgia, Idaho, any state that you think of, North Carolina, they are actively involving themselves in limiting the number of Americans who can vote. And what they're doing is violating a fundamental principle. Yeah. And let's not even talk about the Electoral College. See, because
oh my goodness, did you hear? Yeah. So Walz was in Seattle yesterday, and apparently he made a statement saying that he supports removing the Electoral College.
Because
he does.
You know what?
He says it'd be better to have every
Clinton.
Vote actually matter.
Look at Hillary Clinton. Jack, you and I did a show. We haven't done too many shows after. We did shows about Hillary Clinton. We talked about all of that. And, you know, she's out there now. You know, people go like, why is she out there? I'm thinking like, of course she's out there because she's got a good voice. You know, when she was running, they went like, oh, she's old. She's going to be dead. Okay? And she's not dead. And she's, you know, and that's what they did. They had all the magazines showing the worst pictures of her and everything. And Jack, we had shows on her. And we all thought it was a really good chance that she was going to win. And then she didn't. And that's right. We have the Electoral College, and that's it. I must say that I was not Miss Political, and, you know, when I was in school and all of that. But I have learned a lot. And I could say my shows have helped me because I've talked to people from all over, not just Chicago or, you know, Illinois. So I think I've changed a lot of things about me. So why are people so hesitant to change things? I mean, sometimes, you know, change is a good thing. You can't stay the same your whole life and not have any change.
I mean, that's true. But change is also scary and uncomfortable, and you don't know what's going to happen at the end. Not all change is necessarily good. We've had a lot of very scary, bad change. And
yes, that's the other thing.
So people
then
get hesitant to move forward that way. Because sometimes they're going to change, but they can't really predict what will happen afterward.
Well, nobody knows that. But the thing is, when you're trying to, like, let's say you're talking about education and trying to get college education. And I had a show 2 weeks ago, I think, we were talking about, you know, Civics Minded, the book. And we had a caller call in, and he was talking about, you know, he was, till we got to the point, because I knew what he was saying, he was trying to say that there are some kids that just can't go to college, that you're just, you know, and they maybe they should have reading, you know, in schools, they should make sure the kids read more, they learn more, and they do different programs where if they don't go to college, they can still make money and have a good career. You know, I think those are people out, you know, that he was a person that made sense, because this is just what common sense. You want people to have careers even if they don't go to college. And so that's another thing. These are the things that Harris, she wants to help people with small businesses. She wants to do all of those things. And they're not used to hearing someone care so much. Like I remember, I'm a small business owner, also an electronic business, and I heard Mayor Daley, and I went to him, you know, to hear him speak, and I was a woman-owned business. And he was saying how important small businesses were to the country, and he cared about it. And ever since I've heard that, I knew how important it was that people say that, because we – when you have a small business and you can't get a loan or you can't get any help, that's bad. So that's what Harris Wolf, they want to show people that, yes, we can help you get there. We're not going to hand you the money, but we're going to get you a loan, or you're going to be able to have that start you want. It's not easy to get a start if you don't have a lot of money.
Well, not, I
you know,
think
all,
that's...
You know,
go ahead.
Like, you, Ziva, you have a small business. I want you to just talk a little bit about the website. And this is an important part of business also, because I hear people, you know, they don't need a website. They need have a website. And there's a lot of authors that I have on the show. And you and I myself have been doing social media for this last 15 years. I have shows about it. We talk about it. I have people on it. Everybody's frustrated. I'm going to have, you know, I had a new website for Michigan Avenue Media done, and I'm working slowly with Ziva to get myself organized where I'm not on it as much, because I don't think
right.
It's that good for anybody. So talk a little bit about what your view for the future is for your clients. Because we need
help. Definitely a lot of the work-life balance. but, like, on the whole topic of, you know, Harris trying to give loans and everything to these small businesses, I think some of the hesitation really comes from the fact that people aren't certain they're really going to get that help. There's a lot of, like, promises of help that sometimes are given by Democrats, and it doesn't always come through. And it's like, well, you're not really helping me if you're giving me a temporary loan. What if my business is small, but, like, I'm in an area, and because of a huge hurricane just came and hit Florida, and suddenly my business is gone. I'm never going to be able to repay that loan. So it becomes a little complicated, I think, but it's like
it's not just an easy fix-all there.
As for websites in general, it's definitely important, I think, to have that work-life balance kind of figured out, because you can't just be chronically online. A lot of my friends who I see are becoming chronically online, they're so unhappy. They become miserable constantly being fed whatever the algorithm is giving them. And that's a huge part of the frustration, is because this AI change has just completely changed the internet landscape entirely. And so a lot of us are just trying to figure out what the new normal is or what the new settings are, because people want to be able to find the content that they want, but now they're struggling to, because there's a ton of junk algorithm giving them, you know, people are just putting in websites with just lists of keywords to make it pop up, because that's how the algorithm works, but the content quality is taking a nosedive. So I think that what's going to end up happening is that people are going to be wanting more and more to find real content by real people that isn't just full of buzzwords that have like actual meaning to it. And if we can tag and help people find that things, then maybe we'll figure it out, because the information game is what's going to drive this country completely apart. I'm very concerned about how many blatant lies are being circulated on the internet that people really believe, like, just, you know, even Trump and all of that, the cats eating, you know, people eating their pets is just insane, because
yeah.
it's a complete fabrication that was should have just been left alone in a small community Facebook. The fact that it became a big national scale thing is insane.
Yeah. And that's true. And I do think at people really mentally, because I see them online, they're going like, you know, they're putting posts out and nobody's even looking at them, and they're getting very frustrated, which leads not into a good place, okay? And, you know, look, it's all well and good to try to sell books, but, and we're, you know, I'm an author, you know, but you also, if you get, so I am a firm believer in hope. Like, you know, just like Harris is, I do believe in that. I've done my shows for all these years. I've been an agent because I believe, don't tell people you have no hope, you're never going to get published, this and that, because now there are ways that people can get out there. So I think when people don't feel hope, this is not good. You need to feel like it'll get better. And that's what we need.
You need to have a future that you're hoping for.
Yes. Yes. Right, you need to be able to, and you need to be able to start a business if you want to, or you can have some help. But not everybody's going to get their college degree either. So, I mean, there is help out there. We just have to get this right this time by the vote.
If you get a college degree, it's not going to mean you're going to have an amazing, degree. Like it.
Yes.
Like, yes. I have a degree. It's actually very little for me, especially since COVID.
Yeah. Well, see, this is the thing. Everything, this is when you really think about it, a lot of things that come up, you can't help but say, oh, this is before COVID, after COVID, during COVID. I mean, Jack, you were very sick. I did an article on, you know, oh, I should say something that I forgot, EYS Magazine. Jack, I don't even know if you know that it's coming back. Jasmina is bringing it back, and that's a really good thing, because this magazine that, well, Jack introduced me to Jasmina, and she has the EYS Magazine, and it's people internationally, all different people, where none of us are alike, and we all come together and add our articles into one magazine from everywhere, so it's all different countries, and so that's a good thing also, you know, and all of the things that go on in life, with social media, you have to focus and people, but everything about COVID, and Jackie was sick very bad with COVID. Do you want to discuss a little bit about that just for a minute or two of how your life has changed because you were very sick?
Well, what happened? Look, I had COVID twice. The first time I was out for 21 days, and the second time was harder, but it wasn't as possibly lethal. So what I did was I just had to stop everything I was doing. And I don't know how it was. Okay. If I'm sort of wordless right here, because
because you were very sick and you came back.
Yeah, well, for the first time in my life, Marsh, I find myself basically without words to explain this because I was so weak that I actually couldn't sit down and write. I could not fundamentally move. You know, it was more devastating. Now, what I'm trying to say is if people, other younger people, experience this same thing but in a psychological mode rather than a physical mode, it must be devastating to them. And you use the word hope,
I will say I also went through COVID. I actually experienced it. It was also physically devastating. I was in bed. I was out for like over 10 days. I think it was 14 days that I was testing positive, and it was exhausting, and I did not feel stronger after it. My endurance, like after I finally was recovered enough to, like, you know, be able to come out of the room without an N95 mask on, I was shocked at how tired my limbs were, how exhausting it was just to walk up a street, like a block, like walks I could normally do a couple of miles. Suddenly I am winded just walking up the hill, and like everything felt so much tired. And there is a huge amount of brain fog that comes while you're sick and lingers for a little while after. That just like makes it difficult to be creative. And then you start wondering whether, you know, are you going to get better? And it definitely improved over some time, but it's not a small thing. And it is very
difficult. You nailed it, kid. That is
Jack, the reason
right.
I asked Jack to talk about it, because you did speak about it in the article and everything, you know, you came back because, honestly, you were really, really sick, okay? And you wrote a book, and you were reading more books, you know. So what I'm saying, that is hope, Jack, you know, because when you were sick, did you think that could happen? No, but you did. That's what hope is. I know, you know, I am a very hopeful person. I have always been this way, but I do believe in hope. And that's one of the reasons I do my shows, because I really think people need to feel that they can do it. Because there's a lot of people out there that don't feel that they can do what they really want to do. And so I think hope matters, and I think that's what Harris is saying. There is hope and joy. And that's what people need. So even as you're talking to both of you, I mean, I had COVID too. It was no joy either. Okay. And I still have long COVID, you know, from my don't smell good or taste, you know, right. But this is the thing. We've all been through it. So we now are coming out of it. So even if we don't want to talk about it, we do, because it's part of our life now. The first time I had a show during COVID, I said, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't have it. Well, then I continued on and on, and I had shows, and then we had shows about COVID, because that's the reason I talk about it, is because people have come out of it. It was, for most people that I've talked to, it was the darkest time ever. And Jack, you were really sick, but you came back. And that's what
you know,
is.
Now that I've had time to think about this and what you're saying, but I actually had something to hope with and for, Marcia, because I see myself as a writer, and I saw the writing as something that would lead me at least part way back from the devastation that I was feeling at that time. And it really made a difference having something to hope for, to hope with.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
But the abstract hope, you know, well, let's hope. Well, I just was hoping that I could get together my brain enough, the brain fog that Ziva mentioned. I could get past that. I could write another book, and I have.
And you did.
You know.
Yeah.
And but see, I had the benefit of having, you know, a huge amount of education. I have to, you know, have to say it outright. A huge amount of education. I had something that I could think with, and when young people, and I have to keep saying that, but if young people have been denied that for whatever reason, you know, they don't have a tool. Well, how do I get back? What do I use? And I have an adage that I say, art is salvation. You know, I had something to hope for because I had a book, I had a write, I had something, maybe I had something to say. So salvation is...
Yeah. Wait, I have to butt in here. I have to just say this. Jack, you always have something to say, Jack, and you are very well educated. You're a wonderful writer. You're also a wonderful educator. You have a page that you've helped people with. You want to, before you go on, just mention your page that people, if they want help on writing, because that's what you've devoted years and years to. So you have a page.
Yeah.
Like you have a whole site. I mean, you have helped so many people. Think about that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's what we have to do. Remember back in Marcia, we're old enough that we can remember. You know, they used to say, think globally, act locally. You know, okay, think about climate change, think about all that, but think about what you're doing in your kitchen that produces the carbon that's heating the atmosphere. You know, think about people who might need what you have to offer. So talking about my website, what I did was put up on the website access to everything that I know. I set up and said, okay, let's run a master class on rewriting, but I didn't charge for it. You know, my greed level, I think, has fallen to minus one, because if you can't make money on it in this culture, it's not worth doing, and you're only measured by the amount of money that you make, the number of books that you sell, not the number of people that you help, you know, understand what fiction is. That has been
imagine
my
what
goal
a world it would
to...
be. Imagine what a world it would be if that was our metric.
Yes, and you know what, though? But I had somebody tell me something lately, and they said, you know, honey, they wrote it in the email, that you need to charge people to do this and that. I go, listen. I said, I became an agent to help people. I said, when you're a WGA agent, you cannot charge money, okay? And so I continued on without charging people because I know what it's like. If you want to write and you don't know, I was a lab tech. I worked for doctors. I was a whole different profession. There's nobody out there to say, oh, maybe you should do this or that, or I see them online. People, they how to find an illustrator, how to get a website, how to do anything. And this is what I chose to do. So, no, I'm not charging people, but I have met so many wonderful people that I love the way this worked out for me. It isn't about the money for me. It's about what I got from everybody. I became a better writer, a better listener, because I do talk a lot, but I have doing these shows. So I think, Jack, what you said, it's not always about the money. And, you know,
let's just be a little bit honest here, Marcia.
Yeah.
You're running a different world. Right. I mean, you think a different way, but there are. Okay, I've published 24 books. Okay, I mean that's a fact. You know, a lot of writers that I meet, people that I know, the first question they ask is, "How many books are you selling?" That's the only question they want answered. You see, and so that straps me into either lying or saying, "Oh, it's going really well." You know, or being honest, it's like, why do you care about that? Have you read my book? Have you read any of my books? Have you bought one of my books? I'm sitting here staring right at this moment at six books that I have bought within the past few weeks. One of them is called City of Poetry, that's poems by Stars Coolbrook. The second is Thin Spines of Memory by Star. There's one here by Anne Sweet called Nailed to the Sky. There's one here, just a minute, it's called, you know, I mean, this one is called The Hungry Ones by Alana Gomel, you know, and on and on and on, you see. So people ask me, well, how many books have you sold? And my question to them would be, well, have you bought one of my books? See, it's a screwy world, and that leads me fundamentally as a writer to say, who am I writing for? Why am I writing this? And the only answer that I can come up with is, I write so I have something to rewrite so that I can finish the book and go on to the next one. In other words, it's almost an obsessive compulsive process that I cannot live without. I have a little tag on my wall that says, when not writing, I get weird.
That is definitely a mood, though.
And you have the quality to introduce people to each other that will make their lives different. Like, I met Ziva from you. I met Eleanor, met Jasmina. You know, you put people together. Nicole Disney, she'll be on next week, you know, on my show. And it's like you put people, because you do know people who get along, you know, and
well,
what our personalities are.
Let's put that on a micro scale there. I'm on a micro scale. What you're talking about is somehow can Kamala Harris do that on a grand macro scale? Can she put people together in such a way that they see that there is something besides money that matters in the world?
I really hope that at some point our country is able to figure it out and invest in its people so that the people
right.
don't have to, like, no, I can only do this because I need to make a profit in order to pay for my
right.
life.
Yes, right.
But if
right.
my life is, I can actually achieve a kind of stability, the amount of art and the ability to help other people becomes so much easier, and it would be better to invest in that than in anything else.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think yeah. I think she has that. I think Walt has that. I think she picked somebody that will build that we will the joy is what that's really the best word I can think of. Like she does joy it, because people need that now. We you know that's why sometimes I'll look at what I'm going to watch on TV and I go, you know what, I think I want something funny, something you know cute and you know just light. You know, and so I think people need to be that. Right now, we need that more than ever before. I believe that, whether it be from whatever
right.
it is, you know, bad marriages, bad, you know, abusive relationships, drinking too much. I mean, this is where people are right now. And if they can get the feeling that we once again will be happy and not have to wake up in the morning and go, oh, look what happened. I mean, I think people are exhausted mentally and physically. And I do think people's health will be better when they feel better mentally.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
that's how I look at it.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, you know.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think we have to do is give it time. You know, if we are – what you said is really important, Marcia, because – this woman we call Kamala Harris, I think she wants to do things right. I think that she understands stuff that needs to be done right. And yet she's also a woman who has experienced the same kinds of discrimination that all women have found through time. And she is trying to not quite bull her way through, but to make it clear that when she says, we can't go back, or I won't go back, she's making a very bold statement that antagonizes a certain level of manhood to such
yeah.
a degree that they hate her because she might be right. Maybe she is right. Maybe what she is doing is actually pointing a way to the future that can give us
yeah.
an escape route from this stupidity that we find ourselves trapped in. And we are trapped. I mean, we can't get past
I've had,
our
I've
cars.
I've had men say to me when I start talking about things, because, you know, when I go to a restaurant, I like to, you know, find out what the, I do, kind of interview them while they're serving me just so I know. I like to know what everybody's thinking, you know. And so I'll ask some of these guys that I know, they're servers, and they're great, okay, and a lot of them. And then sometimes they worry about things that they don't understand, or they'll go like, well, is the world ready for a woman yet? See, that's the thing. The thing is, you're just ready for somebody that's good and they can make this country work and get people happy. And she's not going to put a magic wand, but she's going to do the best she can to try. That's all people can ask for, is to try. And it's not about a man or a woman. It's about who can
no,
do the job
not.
Right now. Right now.
Not to mention, like,
who
other countries who have had women leaders so much longer, so much earlier than
that.
Us, and they were just fine.
I know that.
To me, it's always like, hey, you know that they're just human, that you just want a competent
right.
human to be in charge.
Yes.
Whatever gender they are really shouldn't matter at all.
It really shouldn't, because basically you just want happiness for as many people as can have it. You want health care, which is really important. And, you know, there is one topic that I find, because I was in the medical field for so many years, we need to get it together where we have a system where we're not going to give up people on having polio shots and measles and mumps, because the worst thing that can happen is watching children get sick. We need to have vaccines, and that can never happen. And so there are people that may be in the party of the Republican Party that may come in and talk about health and care and not think those things are important. So I feel it's so important that kids have their vaccines and they're able to get help for mental illness. We need a country like that, and we have that country. People are getting vaccines. My worry is, if we don't get the right party in, then they won't have vaccines. And I don't want to be in that world where people, like you say, you're saying you look at history, okay? You don't want that world where there's no polio vaccines or there's no measles or mumps. You don't want that world. TB, you want
the
healthy world.
Graveyards? No.
Yeah, no, we do not want that. We want a healthy society. And it starts with the mind also. And I think right now people are at a point of they just, like we started at the beginning, can't take it. And we need to, you know, the movie Network. Did you ever see the movie Network? I know Jackie probably saw it, right? Network?
I think so, actually. I remember talking about it with my dad.
Old movie. Yeah, and they have it on the movie channel. And, you know, the guy screaming out the window, we just can't take anymore, okay? And that's where we are now, I think. We just need some peace.
Well, we need somebody to stand up, you know, what she is doing.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly happy to tell you what my political bent is, but we just need someone like her who speaks the truth and says, here's what has to happen.
Right.
If we can get that to happen. And see, I've been reading about a lot of young men are apparently leaning towards Trump while the young women seem to be leaning towards Paris, all right? And if that's true, then what we're doing is placing an inordinate burden on the women to make it better, you know, and we've got to do better than that. We can't just say, you know, women have to make it better, women have to salvage it, you know. And how, you know, Marcia, you and I have talked several times about the fate of young men in the culture. Where what are they doing? Why are they failing? They're making movies about it like Failure to Launch because young men cannot find the way through. And when that happens, it invariably leads to their acceptance of fascism because the father figure is so powerful that he overpowers everything. And I'm ranting. You know, this is not a good place to rant.
I want to say on that note, though, because I don't think it's just about fascism as the concept of fascism,
because it's really about this
intense Christian ideology. I mean, I was raised religious. My family converted to Christianity, and then we all left Christianity when I was 19. And so I kind of went through this intense shift in theological perspective. And when you're in it, there is this very strong push in church to be like, no, we want the whole country to be like this. We want everyone to be adopt our values. We want a Christian nation because then if we're aligned with God, everything will be fine. We are being punished because of this. So I don't think it's necessarily just like, oh, we want to be in charge. They want to be in charge to impose this theocracy on us. And I'm so not about it.
But
that's where you have this like weird.
I love it when you talk dirty, Lizzie. That's great. I 100% behind you there.
I think that I was brought up, and I still feel this way, that I look at a person for who they are, not what color they are, not what religion. I mean, people know that I'm Jewish. I've been, you know, it's hard not to know that. I mean, you know, I've been doing the show for 15 years. That's it. But I don't care about what I have shows on, very sexy shows. I have shows for LGBTQ. I do not care. I will have people on my show to discuss anything they want to, and I think over the last 15 years they know that. So I believe that this is the world we could have, that people will accept each other for what they are, and I think it's so important. So, and I like talking about these things now, so I want to have shows like this more. So I tell people to just, they're not answering me really, but so I'm answering the call myself, because I want people to hear different things. We have a world of transgender. We have a different world now, and we have to all get along with it because this is what basic life should be when we get along with each other. And I think that Harris and Waltz, that's the ticket that is going to try. There, like I said, there is no magic wand, and it can't happen 1, 2, 3. But if we all work together, I think we can do this. I believe it's possible.
Yeah, but Ziva is saying is, sure, we'll all work together as long as you believe what I believe. That's the way the Christian mind is working right now.
It definitely does. That's why, like this, like the Project 25 this book is literally like, no, this is how we implement their beliefs into the government system, and it is scary, and it is not what the majority of Americans want to live by, and this country is supposed to be open for all religions. We want it to be the melting pot of everybody working together, being cooperative, and we don't want to have this, like, no, you can't do this because I don't like it. Well, like, that has nothing to do with you. People should be allowed to marry whoever they want. They can express their gender however they wish. It really should not matter what an individual's choices are. But there's this weird ideology that's just like, no, if you're not doing it, then you being who you are is going to show a version of life that my child hasn't even thought about. And they don't want them to have the realization that's that option, because what if they want that too? Never even thinking that, well, what if your child is just actually struggling with these feelings and they have nowhere to put them because they don't see it and they don't know how to internalize it, and it's just making them miserable. Like, it's shocking to me that they don't want to acknowledge they're freaking out because of how many young people are leaving organized religion, that they're walking away from the churches that their families have been raised in, and they're like, well, we're freaking out. The reason they're doing this is because they're seeing these horrible examples, and we have to, you know, prevent people from reading about gay lovers in elementary school. And I completely disagree. I think that we coddle our children too much, that they are not allowed to learn how to become humans because they cannot see what real humans are like. They have this weird vision of what an adulthood is, but we are like, well, you don't get to know about that until you're this age. You don't get to know about that until you're this age. But when they finally reach that age, they're scared of the thing because it was treated like some kind of boogeyman in the thing. And I think that is so damaging, and they don't even realize how damaging that is.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think. And I do think that was when the gentleman called, and he was saying that, you know, he was saying parents should discuss things with their children, help their children read, do all these things. And that's what people don't do or have dinner together. This is what's happening now. And I think that those, you know, like I had, during the COVID, we had a lot of children's authors on. So some of them were talking about the fact that they have, like, now, you know, and all this, they have all the shows on all the Tubi, all these different kind of networks. They have, like, Father Knows Best. They have, you know, all these younger, you know, My Three Sons, all of those things that were Leave It to Beaver, but they were having their children watch. They were watching it with their children. So their children could see some of the things that they thought and they grew up on as a kid. So I think those are the things. It's about family and love and everything we're talking about. It does matter. I like for my books, I put on always, you know, love does matter. It doesn't matter what age it is and who you are and what you are, but it matters. At the end of the day, well, if you die, it's not going to be, like Jack said, how much money you made or how many books you sold. It's about who you loved and who was with you at the end and who loved you. So I think this is where we need to be to make people feel better. And I think mental illness right now is at a high rise. And that is why the schools have a huge problem now. They have to get these kids through everything. Shootings, I mean, all these things, they take a toll on a kid. They're young. They're 6 years old, seven, and they're learning how to get through life so fast, though. And that's kind of sad, but they have no choice. And they're so smart, some of these kids, that have been in the shootings and know what to do. And they do it, which is, it's unbelievable. They're trained to do it, and that's a good thing. I think, Kamala, I do think Kamala said that. Yeah, she did say that.
Let me change this tack just a little bit.
Okay.
Marcia, you're Jewish and you have a set of beliefs, right? How would you feel if you walked into a schoolroom in Kansas or Oklahoma where the Bible is on display in the church under the American flag? I mean, the Bible.
Well, right.
Not the Torah,
okay.
Not something, but the
okay.
Bible.
Right.
See,
this is
the imposition.
I will tell
this
you.
Is the,
okay, I know what you're going to say. How would I feel?
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. What would you think?
I did have those things happen years ago because I didn't once get a job because I was Jewish. It wasn't that long ago. It's not like it was 200 years ago. You know what I mean? There were things that have happened, and a lot of Jews do feel this. And it isn't our imagination because you could feel when I feel this a lot of times. If I walk into a restaurant, then I feel sometimes different because it's, you know, Jewish people, we do have certain, I'm not going to tag myself, so I won't say that. But I will say that I've been through things where I didn't feel comfortable, and I think that's sad. And I did a Holocaust survivor story to life, and she's no longer here. And so I saw what, from her eyes, what happened to her. And there's a lot of shows on now, tattoo artists. There's a lot of different shows that are talking about this and designers of clothes for World War II that you didn't even know, you know, and they're bringing this up to show how difficult it was to be Jewish. And we do, you know, we have a feeling for Israel. And yes, but nobody that I know wants to watch people die, no matter who they are. This is the thing. So going into a school, listen, there are some movies I've seen where I'm uncomfortable because I go, oh, I might not want to go to that place because maybe I won't feel comfortable there. And that's sad because I haven't had that in years, that feeling.
Yeah.
And that's what people are feeling now. Jewish people are scared. We're brave, and so a lot of people just go, we're just going to do it. And we do, and we go out our merry way. But for the Jewish high holidays, all these temples, they're all secured. Oh, they have so much security now. So, yeah, it's very tough. And going into a place that I knew I wouldn't be comfortable, I would probably go in and talk to, you know, and just do my thing and be who I am. But, no, I would feel uncomfortable if they made me feel uncomfortable, but just me, because no, I don't care what religion somebody is.
But Marcia, I'm trying to go to a different level here. What we're talking about is the gradual institutionalization of Christianity, you know, in the classroom. So what they're talking about is,
I hope that never happens.
But it's a fundamental violation of the notion of the separation of the state and the church. In other words, they are saying, oh, it's okay to fuse those two. It's important. In fact, we need to, so our children will get the right worldview.
And I mean,
that's the danger.
The thing never happens. It's already happening in certain states is the thing,
of
too.
Of course,
like,
it is.
Yeah. There are states that have been doing it for years.
Yes, I feel
very sad at this point in life. We have come so far as a Jewish person to now have to hear how people talk about us, because the words that I wrote a script years ago, and I think you read it, Jeff, and it was the words I used. It was about skinheads at that time they were called, and you know. Things like that, and the way they referred to Jews in certain words. And I see those words again. And I thought at the time when I wrote the script, I went, oh, and it was a little heavy for the time. But it's now those words are out again, you know, and this is sad. And that's the thing. It's happening again, and that's why people, you're right, I don't want it to happen again, and I don't want that to happen. And this is where we are now, though.
Well, but
so,
this is
I mean,
where I think that if you know, and I don't know how it's going to work, but when Kamala Harris is elected president, I can only hope, to use your word, you know, that those kinds of things will find a back seat. But I fear that they won't, because the Republicans are so adamant and the white Christian nationalism is so on the rise that I'm not sure that we can get out of it in a safe mode.
But you see, the one thing, when you say Republicans, though, the thing is, there are Republicans that have gone over to Harris. So it's, that's what I'm, when I say it's not about party as much, because it's about what's inside your heart and what you feel. And when these people that were Republican, they are crossing over to do what's right.
So it does not feel like the white nationalism has simply hijacked the Republican Party, because there is a large group of Republicans who don't agree with Trump and really hate him.
They
who
do
are,
not agree. That's right.
Honestly,
and so that's
they're more
saying.
Like the old school moderates. You know, old school moderates have definitely been crossing the aisle and joining the Democratic Party because it looks more like the party that they remember. Because what the Republican Party has transformed into with Trump is so different than what it used to be,
and
it is so much. It's filled with hate, and it's just, it's collapsing.
Right, so it's not just Republican, it's just the way they think, okay? But it's not the Republicans, because a lot of them do not feel this way at all. And there are Jewish Republicans. So you can't, there's a lot of Jewish Republicans.
Yeah, well, what you
say is
probably...
Maybe we can use the word conservative instead of Republican.
Because not all conservatives are Republican, I'd argue anymore. It's so sad they have to do this now. They have a choice. And if you impose the Bible on the classroom, then there's no longer a choice. Because why don't they put the Quran in there? Why don't they put the Torah in there? How about the Bhagavad Gita?
It would be better for them to actually put everything in there.
But I want to tell you something.
When my sister was very sick, okay, and I went to a well-known hospital here, and I just felt I had nothing to do, but I wanted to pray, right? So I went into the chapel, and there was no Jewish prayer books, but I still stayed there because I felt I was in a chapel, so I said what I said to myself. And I felt that I did something. And there were no. And it wasn't that long ago. You know what I mean? And it depends on the person. I just walked in, and that's how I felt. I felt it was about religion, not about that, you know, they didn't have my prayer book, you know. And I just felt I went in there to pray to God. So that's why the thing is, that's what I like. I want that world that I don't know if someone is voting Republican or Democrat, or I want that world back because it was a good, it was nice. It was good. It was safe. You didn't have fights at dinner. You did not talk to someone because you don't like who they voted for. I like that life. I think it was a calming, but right now, family dinners, I've heard from a lot of people, are horrendous. Some people don't show up, and when they do, they're already antagonized. As soon as they walk in the door, they're ready for a fight. Would you agree on that? Anybody want to say that? How's that going?
I would actually disagree with that.
You don't think so?
Because I always, my family got together pretty regularly, and we would discuss political and theology and other things. And we would have fights even when I was just like middle school, high school. We would have these discussions about what we believed. And I actually thought that was quite healthy. I think it's important for people to talk about what they believe, to understand it, to help understand what other people believe and why. I'm a big fan of epistemology, which is about understanding the reasonings for it. But I think now what's happened is that things have gotten much more toxic now. People feel like there isn't any wiggle room and lines are being drawn in the sand, but I don't think that's very different from the past. It's just now these are the new lines that are being drawn, and it's like, which side are you going to land on? And some of these things don't matter to a lot of people, and other people, it matters a whole lot because it's going to affect their life And like, I have, like, I had a friend who, previous election, not this one, but she was talking about how, she's probably not going to vote because she doesn't really care. Nothing is going to happen that's going to affect her. But it's like, it might not affect you, but it's going to affect the people around you, your friends, your family, and it's important to care for them. But that's kind of difficult to convince somebody of when they're so preoccupied with their own lives. But now I feel like these elections are more and more affecting everybody in a different way, in some way. And so it becomes kind of important then to discuss why and what's going on. But it is important, I think, to figure out how to have these discussions in a constructive way.
But they're not, though. But that's the thing. They're not. People are just...
But that's a skill. Oh. It's a skill. If you never talk about it, you have to learn how to talk about it. You have to learn to actually ask, well, why do you believe that rather than just asking them for the belief? And that's the big difference, I think, because there's people who get so insecure when their fundamental beliefs are questioned that they don't want to consider why they believe those things. Were they just taught them from a young age and they never questioned it? But now they're being questioned in it. And you have to learn how to have those conversations. And I think
but
we should do a better job of teaching people how.
Right. But, you know, like when I first got my first job at a lab, and we were all different. And, well, actually, I shouldn't say we were all different. It was 40 doctors and all nurses and lab techs and whatever, and I was the only Jew there. And I never even thought about anything because I think about it now, but when I worked it, no, the people in the lab, we all got along. I mean, you know, there were three of us that had my first job, and one was black, one was Asian. We all got along. I never even thought to think like that. And I remember back now, that's what I think now because I remember that. But I didn't have any problem. It was fine. However, I went to another job in a hospital, and two of us were Jewish. The lab, we had maybe 30 people in the lab. And there were several people, there were two or three of us that were Jewish. And the one would say, well, you know, I really hate Jews, but you're different. We like you. So those are things that people went through. You know what I mean? And that, so I could, you know, and I, that's what I went through. So growing up after that, I just was going like, well, you know what? I like people. I don't even care what they are. So when we had dinners at our family, we enjoyed being together. We had fun. Most of my relatives are unfortunately gone now, and I miss that. And so, Jack, how were you with that? I mean, when you had dinner years ago, what did people talk about? Just was it politics?
Well, let me tell you, you know, my Jewish Okie parallel here. When Helen and I were about to get married, my future mother-in-law, who was in fact from a dirt poor farmer family in Nebraska, said, "Helen, we really like Jack, but do you have to marry an Okie?"
Okay.
So you see, prejudice is not something that's just restricted to anti-Semitism or anti-Muslim.
Yeah.
Americans are trained from an early age to identify with a subset. You see, so the dirt farmer from Nebraska is different from the Okie from Oklahoma. And so here we are, you see. Full-blown
Did she know you had a motorcycle?
Of course she knew. Look, Marcia, I have an 11 o'clock that I have to get to.
We're done. I went over anyway. But Jack, you've been through a lot, you know. And so, you know, listen, it's always a great conversation. And when you wanted me to meet Ziva, I see why you did, because you added so much to this conversation, Ziva, because it's good
Ziva's in a special class, let me tell you.
Ziva is in a special class, and I love her dearly. Because it's hard to hear her views. It's nice to hear what she's thinking. That's what people should do. They should listen to everybody and see what they're thinking.
Exactly.
Not judge,
I knew that she would open some doors for us, so I'm glad she was here. Ziva, I will talk to you later. I do have to run, though.
Very fine. All right, okay. All right, we're going to end the show anyway. Okay.
All right.
And, thank you, Ziva, for helping.
I'll talk to you both later then.
All right, thank you. And thank you, Ziva, for helping me. Bye-bye. And our my website, my new one will be another one you're going to do for me. And so I appreciate what you've done. So I think that's what people need to know about, you know, changing their social activities sometimes. So that's what I'm going to do working with you. And I appreciate that.
Okay.
Because,
perfect.
You know,
oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, you can go.
Love you,
yeah,
both.
You, okay, bye,
talk
Jeff.
To you soon.
Bye-bye. Bye. So
bye.
Do you want to add anything about
About
what, you know, about social media or anything? Because I think that's a big issue for people. So I myself, because people, I've talked about this year after year, how many Facebook pages I have and all of this. So I myself am going to work with you to get myself together here, because I, like your friend, this is enough. You know what I mean? And I do see people out there saying they have it enough. So I think that's a new topic that people will be doing. So I want to be one of the first to redo everything, because I've been on this long enough.
And
I
think it's important just to make sure that you focus on what works and don't get overwhelmed. I definitely think that the personal website will make a comeback, because the algorithm is so confusing that people want their own little home base again, to have their links, to have their thoughts, something that isn't constantly being filtered or having, you know, a ton of ads being, I hate pop-up ads, and they're everywhere, everywhere.
Well,
so whenever I make a website, I do not fill it with ads. And I actually think that they get more readability that way. My website, you know, for building websites is theravenword.com. And it's not the only thing that I do, but it is navigating the digital world in this changing climate is a constant work in progress.
Yeah,
everything
is
changing, and you have to be willing to change with it.
I have your link on the page, show page, so they can see the link. And because I think it's a new era to do different things for people right now. And that's why I hope
and
joy.
Well, because you can finally
do so
much yourself.
Yeah.
Because you can, as a publisher back in the day with traditional publishing, your publisher did everything for you. You didn't even have to worry about it. And in some ways, I kind of wish I'd had that opportunity, but I don't. However, what I do have now is all of the tools at my disposal to completely do it myself. And the trick is to not get overwhelmed, to take it one step at a time.
Right, and that's what I'm going to do, because I think people need that. I watch people and I talk to people all the time, and I look at their posts and I see it's too much of nothing. And that's what we need to not do. Because, and you see the same post over and over and over, and I'm thinking to myself, no, you know, I don't want to do this anymore, because it's not getting anywhere.
Yeah.
With, you know, they're taking up time for writing. So I appreciate you coming on the show, and I'll call you because I have a couple questions. But this was a really good show, and for anybody that wants to do a different show or have another topic, you too, you know. And that's what I'd like to do, current events, because I think, you know, people want to hear what other people think, you know, and because maybe they think they're alone sometimes.
Maybe, but also maybe they'll just hear a different perspective that they haven't even thought of.
Yeah.
Get out of the, you know, like Ground News has this whole blind spot thing, which
I
kind
think
of enjoy.
Jack is right about
to show you what
you
haven't been thinking about.
Yes, you are a different age group. And so I think that's always good. So I always tell people, don't not watch a movie or read a book because you think it's not for your age. There's no such thing as age. It's just about people and what we do. You know, they'll say like, that's for a young person. Well, what does that mean? You know, or that's for an old person. That's ridiculous. It could be for anybody.
Yeah. It should be for everybody.
Yes, I agree. All right. So thank you so much. And thank you for all the
listeners. My pleasure.
And
thank you for having me.
Thank you. Oh, you're welcome.
Talk to you soon.
Hopefully. Bye.
Yeah.